That is Bava Metzia, and I'm going to take this opportunity now to re-record Maseches Nedarim, which somehow got lost. So I'm going to do that now. So this is going to be from some weeks back. And the first Mishnah speaks about Ko Kinuye Nedarim Kinedarim, that when I make a neder, that like when you say Kol Nidrei on the first prayer of Yom Kippur, then we say in part of that line, we say Kinuye, V'choname, V'kinuse, right? So these things are like nicknames, like some people say Gosh instead of God. Right, they'll say Nazik instead of Nazir. So once they become a part of the vernacular, so then the Kinuye Nedarim become like Nedarim themselves. The first Mishnah in Nedarim is called Kinuye Nedarim Kinedarim. The first Mishnah in Nazir called Kinuye Naziris Kinaziris. Right, so the beginning of Nedarim and Nazir are very similar. You should learn them always both together. All right, so these are all issues in the first parak, and the first parak also talks about yados. Yados are like handles of a pot. There's a yad, a handle of a pot. It's not the actual thing that cooks, but you hold it. So yados are also statements that are not exactly like a kinui, but they're an assumption. We can assume that the person meant a neder or a naziris when he said this thing, right? So right, a nazir walks by and the person is twiddling his hair and he goes, I want to be like him. So yeah, I know, we pretty much know what he's thinking. Okay. All right. So the second chapter is all about things that are never even chal. The nedarim, someone says something that sounds like a neder, that are never, don't even need hatara. Don't even need to be, to have permission not to keep the neder. The person, Masechta at this point is very, very concerned that people don't just throw out things from their mouth in their anger or in the tense moment, especially not to a family member or to a spouse, where they say things that are ridiculous, that you don't really mean, but it's just at the moment, the heat of the moment, they say. So the Nedarim wants to keep us very careful about how we speak, and that's why Yom Kippur is so important. If you look at the Al-Chaitz, when we clap here, so many of them are related to the spoken word. A good 25% of the Al-Chaitz can be have to do with the things that we do with our mouths. Okay, so the third chapter talks about certain things we say with exaggerations, like things that we say, oh, I swear I wouldn't, I'm never going to see it, read another Choshen, another Shev Shmaitza, because this one was so hard. There are things that we just say, we throw out of our mouth. You have to be more careful than that. But sometimes we say a guzma, we say, oh my goodness, there were so many people in this place. Kifle kiflayim, kiyotze mitzrayim. That would be like 1,200,000 people. No, there weren't that many people in Yankee Stadium. But sometimes you make a guzma, all right, we understand. And the person listening understands I'm not being so serious about this. But we should be serious with our words. Don't say, I'll be there in a second. You're not going to be there in a second. All right, but if the person knows what you mean, all right. But still, the third parak tells us about how careful we should be. And it says there are certain nidre onsin and things that we might have to say as a neder, like someone wants to steal something from us and say, no, don't take that. It's truma. It's the food for Kohanim. It's not really, but I'm trying to save it from a bad guy. So the third parak is basically all about piv v'libo shavim, that your heart and your mouth should be the same, and excuses where if it's not the same, what's the din? When will we allow it? Okay, so the fourth parak is talking about ein bein hamoder, different aspects of making a neder not to have any benefit from foodstuffs or jewelry or any particular thing. That it's the point of this chapter, the beginning of the first Mishnah, is that all value really turns to food, right? Not even clothing and shelter, but food. Because food, most of our history, we're hunters and gatherers just to prepare for our next meal. Right, Baruch Hashem, we have storage now, we have refrigeration, we can prepare in advance for food. All right, so that's what the fourth chapter is about, that basic structure of benefiting turns to food. Okay, and all right. So the fifth chapter talks about Hashutfin, same name of a chapter as the first chapter in Bava Basra that I just said. It talks about partners who got into an argument and they say, "I'm not going to have any benefit from you." So how can they ever dissolve their partnership? How can they walk into each other's property or to a garden that they share, or a backyard that they might share, or a house that, or an office that they share? So suffice it to say, we don't really talk this way today so much, but then they used to, you know, just in a fit of rage or in a fit of anger, they would say, "I swear that everything of yours is forbidden to me. I take a vow that what's yours is forbidden." At this point, I want to make point out the difference between a shvua, which Chazal considered much more serious than the neder. A shvua is where you make an oath about your behavior. Make an oath not to do something. Make an oath not to sleep. You don't make a neder not to sleep, because an oath is on your behavior. A neder is on objects. This is why Shavuos is in Nezikin, because it's all about our behavior, things we do, things we don't do. And Nedarim is in Noshim, because Nedarim is about Cheftza, it's about things, right? So you, if you want to make a neder not to sleep, you would have to say something like, "I make a neder, my eyes will not benefit from sleep," because eyes are a thing. Right? But you can't make a neder not to sleep. Sleep is not a thing. Okay, so the next two chapters, 6 and 7, are about two things that a person makes a neder against, is not to eat something that is cooked, not to eat something that's a vegetable. And these two prakim are filled with a very important prakim. I would say just everybody should learn the 6th and 7th parak of Maseches Nedarim, because they identify dozens and dozens of items that, because if I make a neder, I'm not going to eat anything that grows from the ground. What does that include? That include fish? Does that include mushrooms? Right? Fish doesn't grow in the ground, but it might, but it's taken out of water, which is connected to the ground. I don't know. Well, how do we loosely identify things? How do we substitute some one thing for another? So that's what these two chapters are about, and very, very important. The 8th chapter is if a person says, "I will not benefit from such a thing today, this week, this month, this year," how much does that include? A lunar year, a solar year, a full month, right? Full month like this month, there's 30 days in it. Tammuz, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is today and tomorrow, but today is the 30th day of Sivan. Tomorrow is the first day of Tammuz. So how much is included here? That's what this chapter is about. The 9th chapter talks about what's known as a petach. Petach is an opening, making an opening to allow a vow to be abrogated. Now, in the Torah, the simple pshat of the Torah, a father can abrogate a vow of his young daughter and a husband for his wife. But the fact that there's hataras nedarim for individuals who are not in that relationship, that's something the Mishnah in Chagiga says is porchen ba'avir. It's like flying in the sky. We do the Gemara, it's actually a Mishnah, Daf Yud Ches. I'll leave that. But towards the end of the first parak of Maseches Chagiga, it tells you all the various limudim, various ways we understand the din of hataras nedarim, that are based in usually of three, but if someone's a mumcha, even alone, can be matir and neder, if someone took upon a certain behavior or even with the lashon of a neder to do certain things, and now they just can't anymore, right? So they need what's called hataras nedarim. Question of whether someone or a girl who grew up in a household where they always wait 6 hours, and then she marries someone who only waits 3 hours after meat to eat dairy, whether she has to do hataras nedarim in order to change that practice. Okay, the 10th chapter is about a woman who has drawn to two different men regarding hataras nedarim, and that is, she's still living at home, she's a nara, she's younger than 12 and a half, and she's already engaged to be married, so she has a husband also. So her father and her husband are partners in this, and the Gemara there talks, the Mishnahs and the Gemara talk about how such a person's vows are abrogated, or they have a hakama, they're kept. Okay, and finally, the last chapter, the 11th chapter, talks about the vows that a husband is able to abrogate for his wife. They have to have something to do with their relationship. But if she says, I take a vow upon myself that certain behaviors or certain things that forbidden to her that have nothing to do with her relationship with the husband, then he doesn't have the right to do any of that. She might be in business with someone. So that talks about the end of the Masechta talks about certain other relationships between husband and wife and dovetails very nicely from Suvas, which is right before. Remember, this is in Seder Nashim. And that concludes our discussion of Maseches Nedarim. We will continue next time, please God, with Bava Basra on Tuesday. And I believe I also have to make up for Moed Katan, which keeps on somehow eluding the record. So, okay, everyone, I'll call the Seder. We just did Bava Metzia and Nedarim. Everyone have a great day today. Learn well, stay healthy. Kol Tov. Bye-bye.
Thank you.